dead of night. Not one faint hope in sight. God gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Savior in Bethlehem.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
This night that we may
Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
Long ago in Bethlehem, it's the holy light. Earth received her morning star on a winter's night. Long ago in Bethlehem, Christ fulfilled God's plan. In a lowly manger bed, God became a man. Can it be this baby will for sin atone? Can it be this manger bed doth God enthrone? Long, long ago he came to Bethlehem. Long ago in Galilee, midst a stormy chill, Jesus, Lord of land and sea, whispered, "Peace, be still." Long ago in Galilee, blind were made to see, lame were made to walk again, sinners were set free. Though the Prince of Heaven left his throne above, mortal flesh rejected him and scorned his love. Long, long ago he lived in Galilee. Long ago on Calvary, love and sorrow met, when the spotless Lamb of God paid the sinner's debt. Long ago on Calvary, heaven bore my pain, when upon the cruel cross Jesus Christ was slain. Once for all he suffered, nevermore to die. Now in heaven's majesty, Christ reigns on high. Long Bethlehem. Long ago in Galilee, long ago on Calvary, Jesus lived and died for me.
Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
On the night when Christ was born, in the twilight's gleaming, piercing thorns on yonder bough, stirred with anguish dreaming of a cruel thorny crown, of a king in death bowed down. On the night when Christ was born, with the glad song breaking, reads a a misty pool, as with sorrow aching, wailed with pain of that far hour, when a reed would mark his path. On the night when Christ was born, midst the angels stood a lonely, solemn wood, bowed in mournful gazing. Could this tree in shadow dim be the cross that beareth him? In the shadows watches three,
and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where he lay fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sins to forgive. Born to die Jesus knew when he came, he would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow, but he left paradise. With his blood he paid the price. My redemption to Jesus I owe. From his throne Jesus came, laid aside heaven's fame, in exchange for the cross of Calvary. For my gain suffered loss, for my sin he bore the cross. He was wounded and I was set free. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. Dearest Lord, evermore may thy cross I adore, as I follow the path to Calvary. Of thy death I partake, my ambition I forsake, all my will I surrender to my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. Born to die,
precious blood he shed,
but the grave could not contain him. He rose up from the dead. Now that you've seen him, Jesus Christ the Lord, what will you do with his love?
Stories about being nice to others. Perhaps being kind or gracious, maybe thoughtful or giving or even selfless. And who wants to say that these are not noble thoughts? But Christmas is not about a sentimental attitude. Christmas is about an event. A very particular event took place a little more than 2,000 years ago. And because of what happened, we are here together in this place today. What was it that happened? It's rather simple. Jesus came down from heaven. That struck me because we all want to go up to heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven? You ask most people if they want to go to heaven, they'll say yes. Oh, I know there'll be that rare one that'll say no, but only because of his ignorance. Most everyone wants to go to heaven. We want to go up to heaven. What would it be? What cause could there be? What reason could there be that Jesus would come down from heaven? Jesus sat in the glory of the throne in heaven. Isaiah proclaimed in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. That was 700 years before the birth of Christ. And John in his gospel in the 12th chapter affirms for us that the very one Isaiah saw was Jesus Christ himself. The Lord sitting upon the throne was the eternal Son of God, who is the express image of the glory of the Father. And Jesus said this in John chapter 6 and verse 38, for I came down from heaven. It's an amazing thing to me that he would leave all of that glory and come down to earth. Particularly when you consider the drastic change that it was for him to leave the glory of heaven and come to earth. Here he was, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. Seraphim sang his praises. But on earth, we are told in Luke chapter 1, verse 7, that he was laid in a manger, because for the God of glory, who was accustomed to sitting upon the throne, there was no room for him in the inn. Does that strike you as strange? The Bible tells us that God is a spirit. Jesus was accustomed to expressing his omnipresence. Psalm 139 in verse 8 tells us that he is everywhere present. And yet, when he came to earth, he willingly confined himself to a body the Father had prepared for him. I don't know if you can comprehend that. But how does the God who is everywhere present go to such a small little vessel? Genesis chapter 17 in verse 1, he says, he is the Almighty God, all-powerful, omnipotent. And yet in Luke chapter 1 and verse 7, we see him as an infant who needs to be held and carried and fed. What a change. In Psalm 147 and verse 5, it tells us that he is of infinite understanding. And yet now he confines himself to the coos of an infant. Psalm 104, verse 24 says, the earth is full of his riches. And yet when he walked on this earth, in Luke chapter 9, in verse 58, he declared that he had not where to lay his head. He left all of that glory in heaven, confined himself to such a small space, took upon himself human flesh, and in that flesh he suffered deeply. In John chapter 18, verses 19 through 24, it describes how he was abused by the Roman soldiers and the soldiers of the temple and Caiaphas the high priest. He was struck with the palm of his hand. In Mark's gospel, he was struck with the fist and he was spit upon. In Luke's gospel, he was struck so hard that the skin was laid open. In Mark's gospel, he was scourged with a whip and a crown of thorns was pressed upon his head, and then they hit him on the head. In Matthew's gospel, he was crucified, being nailed to the cross. And Isaiah describes in prophetic language that suffering of the Messiah on the cross as saying his visage was so marred more than any man. Why? Why did he do all of this? Why did he leave the throne of glory and come down to earth, go through all of those changes, the limitations of his expression, the suffering, the death? Why? Why all of that? Why did Christ come down from heaven and go all of this? It was not to teach us a sentimental principle. He did it all because he loves us. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, he loved me and he gave himself for me. You see, in the language of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, we were trapped by the power of darkness. Sin had enslaved us. There was no light in our eyes. We could not see the truth. We could not pursue the path of righteousness. We could not please God with our lives. But in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, it says, Christ came down from heaven so that he might be turned, that we might be turned from darkness, so that we might receive forgiveness of sins and we might inherit eternal life. In that silent night with which we are so familiar, there is a tremendous gift given to us by God. Not of sentimental proportions, but of divine. Not of sentimental affection, but of eternal sacrificial love. Not with the intent of making me to be a thoughtful person, but to rescue me from the prison of darkness. not because I am worthy, but because by his very nature love pours out of Christ's heart to those who are not worthy and to those who cannot help themselves. The silent night of his birth is but a momentary pause before the grand symphony of redemption begins. If we listen, we may hear the crescendo of his triumph. If we look, we may see the banner of his victory. If we turn to him, he will give us his life. Have you heard? Have you believed? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? As wonderful as it is to be nice to people, that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about an event when Jesus came down from heaven to live here on earth as a man, to bear your sins in his body on the cross, to shed his blood to pay your price, to die your death, and for all of us to triumph over the grave by raising again. This is the marvelous news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is what Christmas is all about. And we invite you today to believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise of God's word is, thou shalt be saved. Will you believe today and receive the Savior as your own? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. We must put the question to you this day. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? This is why he came. To rescue you from your sin. To do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And he has done it successfully. And all you need to do is believe that he has done it. And trust in him. Will you trust the Savior today? We invite you to do so. We invite you to believe in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for his willingness to come. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here in this moment who has not yet received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that with the message of the gospel presented this day, they will hear it, they will believe it, and they will receive it and be forgiven of their sins and be given the hope of eternal life and join us in the blessed body of Christ. May it be so this day, Lord. Draw that soul that is nearest hell to you this moment. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.